Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Each year, leaders come together to collaborate and make a difference in the world as they interact with former presidents. The program is called Presidential Leadership Scholars, and it allows diverse leaders to learn about leadership through the eyes of former American presidents Bill Clinton and George W. Bush. Jolene Letcher is CEO of Mudmile Communications, and she made the trek to Dallas as one of these scholars, and she's joining us here in the SDPB Kirby Family Studio here in Sioux Falls with an update. Hey, welcome back.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure to have you back in on the program. Tell us a little bit about the Presidential Leadership Scholars and how you first heard about it, because for a lot of people in South Dakota, it's not something we have a long history of South Dakotans coming back from.
We don't, because I would be the first.
Yes.
So the Presidential Leadership Scholars Program, it actually started about 5 years ago when President Bush and President Clinton and some folks from their administrations had gotten together and said, we want to do something to really take up-and-coming leaders who have this proven track record of service and bring them together, regardless of party, and start a conversation with them amongst themselves, but also give them access to all these things that we've learned, having made some of the biggest, most critical decisions that the world has seen over the years. And so that is how it started. And then it's always helpful if your father's also been a president.
Right.
And so then President George H.W. Bush, who was alive at the time, came in to join the program, and then also the folks with President Lyndon Johnson's library. So those four libraries and administrations all came together, and 5 years ago it said, let's see what we can do to have a civil and a strong conversation about how to serve and what learning looks like from the past to move us all forward. And you think about, Lori, 5 years ago,
yeah,
the discussion was, we're concerned about the direction of the conversation, but we're hopeful that there's talent and love and passion for this country. We're going to bring that together. And I think it's even more profound now for the 60 of us that came together in the climate that we have politically.
All right, so let's get one of those popular questions that people are thinking right now out of the way, and that's that Bush and Clinton didn't necessarily... I mean, the Clinton staff is prying the W's off of keyboards as a prank when George W. comes in. What does that say about this program that these two presidents are able to say, we're going to do this together?
I think it says what encapsulates what's great about our country is that at the end of the day, there is a joint belief in coming together to do what is best. And, you know, politics and elections aside, it is about service. And, you know, we were surrounded by folks that were, in heated elections and a race that, you know, changes so much. When you look at especially the three men on the latter half there, both President Bush's and then President Clinton, you think about all of the dynamics that went into those elections and those administrations, and then to have the people that led those decisions and those administrations come together and say, we know that what's best in this country is sitting around a table and having a discussion. I think that speaks to what's so powerful about this country. And even when I get stressed out and think, oh, how are we all going to get back to where we used to be, or how do we grow from where we are,
right. You
see a program like this.
And so for people who are coming, it's a bipartisan group of people as well. And the same question, only extending it to the participants. If you were a huge fan of Bill Clinton, you might have despised George W. Bush. And likewise. So the people that you are working with, talk a little bit about the bipartisan spirit, because both those presidents could be considered polarizing to some people.
Absolutely. So amongst our group, one, some of the most amazing people I have ever met. Navy SEALs, a woman that is working to teach STEM to women in Afghanistan, like absolutely incredible not only nation-changing people, community-changing people, but world-changing folks. And they do come from a lot of distinct backgrounds. And for our PLS class, a lot of them have military backgrounds, either are veterans now or still actively serving. And you think about how the last 20, 30 years look like and what those presidents that served in that time, the decisions they had to make, and the impact it had on individual lives. So people do come in with their personal perspective and belief. And what was fascinating to see was people that had, you know, served through and lived through combat situations or were in Iraq or Afghanistan, that they were meeting their commander in chief at the time. But they also may have lost friends too. And I think all of us, regardless of how we walked into that situation, after you are in a room with a president and are able to have completely off the record, candid conversations, you are able to see the values of the man and why they made that decision. Agree or disagree with what they did, there's something about the humanity of the office of the president in such a close-knit quarter that few people get to experience that for me was just incredibly profound.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Jolene Letcher. And, you know, when we say you're the first person to do this thing, obviously, it's 5 years old, so not a lot of people have had the opportunity. Why did you want to go? What did you see in the program that you felt not only the program would have something to offer you, but that you would have something to offer the program?
Well, for me, it was important and continues to be important that we share the story of what's great about the Heartland. And I will probably get on my soapbox a little bit here, because when I hear folks say, oh, you're from flyover country, I cringe. And I think there is nothing that we're flying over. I mean, if that is how you see this part of the world, then you're missing out on what I believe is one of the greatest things God's created, you know? And that's where we choose to live. So for me, it was about going and really sharing what's great about South Dakota and about Sioux Falls and about this part of the country, sharing the work that we've been doing that started as Jolene's Law and became the Center for the Prevention of Child Maltreatment and South Dakota's 10-year plan to end child abuse, which is unlike anything any other state is doing, and even got to share that story and that journey directly with President Clinton, which was amazing. But for me, too, the decision to apply and to go into this was not only founded in the work that I'd been able to do as an advocate and a survivor of child sexual abuse, but also, you know, I had been through a campaign. I had been through an election. I had run for mayor in Sioux Falls. When you go through that experience, there are tough times. There are trying times. And, you know, you do lose friends. And you also gain a ton of friends. But I knew I wanted to find something that helped me glean even more out of that experience and to grow even more from it. And I thought, what better way to do that than be surrounded by 59 points of light, to use, you know, President Bush's words. And that's it. It reignited in me, and not to say that it was extinguished, but my light, my hope that despite the chorus that we hear, that things are not going well in the world, or in this country, there's so much that is right. Mm.
Let's talk about, for people, because we're spending this whole hour talking about leadership and political leadership in the state, where these young leaders, where the new leaders, regardless of your age, come from. And there's a few things that you said there that I want to kind of tease out a little bit for listeners. And that is the sense that you take an experience, a successful experience, what you might consider a failure, depending on what your experience is, and you say, I think I can learn more from this by reflecting upon it further. That's an important point, too, to say, I went through something huge. I won the election. I lost an election. This is an opportunity to find the next thing, to say, how do I fully integrate that experience now instead of just moving on to the next experience, right?
Yeah. And what was great for me in knowing that, you know, I had won in the sense of we had made it to a runoff and then lost in the end, you sometimes walk away from those situations and think, okay, I lost. That's my takeaway. But then when you are around presidents and administrations that they lost multiple times,
right?
When you look at both President Clinton and President Bush, and also President Bush's father as well, none of them had linear paths to service. And that for me was an amazing experience to hear from them about what that was like when they lost. Yeah. And for me personally, going through a campaign can also be a huge test of faith. Mm. And knowing that you will always live by the values that you were raised by. And for me, like the foundation of my faith and how I was raised was that it is based in service to community. And so to hear the presidents reinforce that, and to have had the moment to ask President Bush, like, about his faith, for me will be one of those things I carry with me forever. To talk to a person who has had to be committed to their faith and then also make decisions that live in that framework personally, right, and then go on for ages was just humbling.
What can you tell us about some of those candid conversations that's appropriate to share, whether it's, you know, things that were said that you think, yes, I can repeat that, or whether it's just how those conversations made you feel, made others feel?
Yeah, and that's one of the things that's so incredibly special about this program and this experience is that the doors close. And it's you and 59 of your classmates and, First Lady Laura Bush or, you know, President Bush or President Clinton or members of their administration, Secretary Albright. And you get to ask them these things that you've been wondering about. Yeah. The people that have made decisions that shaped your life, your childhood, your future, your child's future. And one of my big takeaways was that I always walked out of that room being reminded that they are just people, which sounds in some ways like a very obvious thing, but we sometimes forget at the end of the day they're just people. Yeah. In our situation, President Bush was not a man who ran late, and he was running late for us because he spilled paint on his pants because he's doing all this painting of veterans and whatnot. And you think,
artist paint. He's not painting the bathroom.
Yeah, no, not bathroom paint or anything. Yeah. I don't know that Mrs. Bush was going to trust him with that.
Probably not. Maybe.
Possibly. But like, you know, he runs late too because he spills, you know, I'm a mom.
Yeah.
And, you know, I run late because...
But don't you think that was one of the things that he won on, too, was that sense that people were attracted to George W. Bush because they felt he was the president you could have a beer with. And much has been made of that from a negative standpoint and a positive standpoint. But people want their presidents to be real people in some ways.
Absolutely. And they...
Except when they, you know, do something they don't like.
And then they don't want them. That's a whole other... Both presidents and everyone from the administrations that we spent time with, and even folks that served in President Johnson's administration,
right,
were conversations like you and I are having right here, right now. But it was also that opportunity to see how they've processed the decisions that they've made in their life, and I think that's really profound too.
That's huge.
To see how people have reconciled and reflected on the things that they've done and why they've done it. And in every case, Lori, every single person had this hope. They would say, you know, I know people are stressed, or I know this is a crazy time, or when you look at President Johnson, it was 19, the late 1960s.
Yeah.
When we talk about turbulence at all levels, of political and business and whatnot, every single person came away with hope. And I walked out of every conversation thinking, there is so much that is right.
Where for you was hope useful in the sense that beyond, just that it has a tangible component to it, that it's not just now I feel good, I'm inspired. Like, you know, you go to a conference, you can go to, you know, like a professional conference, you can walk away inspired, you can go to work on Monday and nothing's changed.
Right, there's a bunch of post-its and notes
right,
and things.
Exactly.
That, yeah.
So this is something that, you know, this is not just hope that I can be a better, you know, worker on Monday or I can, you know, be more efficient. This is hope for our nation. This is hope for the future. Like, what raised the level of hope to that level for you?
Part of it was the fact that we were engaging with people that can help us, our classmates, make progress, make that tangible progress on the issues that matter so much to us. So for me, when I talk about child sexual abuse and the work that we've done here in South Dakota, that sparked conversations with people who are now saying, I'm going to take what you all are doing because I have seen nothing like that in Texas. Right. And or I am in the medical field, and what you're doing in addressing child maltreatment and adverse child experience scores to help patients, we're going to take that and put it into place over here. That for me was not just the warm, fuzzy, feel good, oh my gosh, I got a picture with the president and isn't this great? That was the, wow, we are changing the world.
Tell us about this cohort going on. Like, what happens next for, and we can talk more about what exactly happened during, you know, during the gathering, but clearly there's efforts to make those connections and continue the work on.
So it was 6 months, and we were traveling each month in there. And now that we had the formal graduation, that's really the kickoff to what comes next. And for us, that is a continuation of those relationships. So I will be in New York in September, meeting with folks that both were in my class and in other classes to have a chance to kind of collaborate, see where we can spin off ideas. We'll be back in D.C. together, all of the classes, in October, where we're going to have that opportunity to keep engaging with each other and taking the work that we're doing in our personal leadership project, which is something that we worked on throughout the 6 months, and watch that grow.
All right. What's next for you that relates to South Dakota? Where, you know, do you have a plan that you're ready to talk about? Is that something that we keep inviting you back?
I don't know what you're hinting at.
Whatever could that be?
I think once you run for office, you always get asked continually, will you run again? And the most political answer I can give is, I don't know. What I know is that I decided to run because I believe in service. I decided to run because I believe in the place that I made home, that I chose to make home. And, you know, what that looks like going forward, I don't know. What I know is that regardless, I will serve. That foundation of my faith and service is something that I have to live every day. That is what fulfills me spiritually and emotionally. And so that will be from here on, and for the rest of my life, continuing to make sure that families do not experience child abuse or child sexual abuse, that I would love to see on my last day on this earth, that I can look back and say, no one else had to go through what I went through. So that work for me will always continue. And what, you know, what else comes in that path, I don't know. But I know too, continuing conversations so that we can keep, one, having hope, I think is vital. But then also for me to continue that conversation outside of South Dakota to make people aware of what we're doing inside South Dakota. So that when they look at it on a map, it isn't flyover country. It's a place that's changing the rest of the country.
Jolene Letcher talking about the Presidential Leadership Scholars, which she was the first South Dakotan to participate. Come back anytime and talk to us more, Jolene. We appreciate your time.
Absolutely. I love our conversations.